in the letter of John, there's just things I think are worth pointing out. I want to reflect more on the titles of Jesus that we have today. But in this first letter, we have chapter 2, verses 29 down to 3:6. It starts off, if you know that God is righteous, then know whoever, everyone who acts righteously, all who does, literally all who do righteousness, are begotten by him. There's three people, classes of people, who are described as being begotten by God. Those who practice righteousness, those who believe, and those who love. And this is the first of these three in John's gospel, in John's letter. And then this notion that we are the children of God, you see. If we're begotten by him, then we're the children of God. We have divine life in us. And that's why he finally says, everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness. For sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was revealed to take away sins. How was he revealed? He was revealed in his whole life, and most especially in the act of love in which he died on the cross. That's what takes away our sins. No one who remains in him, you know that he was revealed to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. No one who remains in him sins. Did you ever think of that? No one who remains in him sins. We don't have to sin anymore. This is a powerful text, huh? And it goes on in the next section, which I hope they give us tomorrow. No one who is begotten by God commits sin, because God's seed remains in him. So we'll take that up tomorrow. It's powerful, isn't it, to think that if we were really to yield to the Word of God in us, we wouldn't sin anymore. We have the power within us not to sin. Think of that. Now, some of the great saints got close, but we have the power. There's no reason why we have to sin. If we would let this Word of God, this seed of God, this life of God take over. Now, in the gospel, we move on. On the next day, there are a series of days going on here. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, how are we going to have that make sense to us? What does that mean, the Lamb of God? What's the Lamb of God? This is one of those places, you see, where we could learn, and we'll have a couple of minutes to learn today, what's this phrase? But he takes away the sin of the world. What does that possibly mean? You see, this is where the saints knew from the Holy Spirit that they had to pray. They had to say, "God, I have the words. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Those are the words. Now, what's the reality that these words are bringing to my spirit? How do I touch these things? How do I know them? How do I experience them? How do I go on so that it just isn't words? The Holy Spirit. But you see why you could say today, Thursday, you know, when we can do the public life of Jesus and all the rest, you know, and the, well, John is talking about his experience at Jesus' baptism when he saw this. What if we were to take the whole decade just to say, what is the Lamb of God? Why are you called Lamb of God? What does this mean? And I'm not going to leave here till you tell me. It's a great story about Honi, a rabbi, the circle drawer, they called him. He was a holy man. They said, Honi, pray for rain. We haven't had any rain. Pray for rain. If it doesn't come in the rainy season, it doesn't come over there. And so that's that. And so he prayed. And then after a while, he drew a circle in the ground. And he stood in the middle of the circle. And he said, Lord, Honi is not moving from this circle until you give us rain. And God's heart was won over. And they had so much rain, they didn't know what to do with it. We can say, Lord, why are you called the Lamb of God? How do you take away the sin of the world? What does that mean that you take away the sin of the world? How do you take it away? Show me. You see what I'm trying to say? You see, you see this acorn? Yeah, it's going to grow up to be an oak tree. That's fine. Why? How? Now that one is a little easier. You can study the DNA of the acorn. I mean, that's a little easier. But you see, the Holy Spirit wants to give us this kind of hungry spirit. I want to know this. And then I didn't know him. But that's why I came baptizing with water, to make him known. And then I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain on him. I did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does it mean, baptize with the Holy Spirit? Not just with water, with the very Spirit of God himself. Well, there's a whole series of texts in the Old Testament where God promises to pour out his Spirit. And he is the one who can baptize, plunge the whole world into the Spirit of God. And that begins in us in our sacramental baptism. But as St. Augustine says, you got to be born of water and the Spirit. There are some people born of water, but they're not born of the Spirit. And so we attach that grace now, that name, now to a very special grace, coming to know Jesus personally. Having a personal encounter with the living Christ is to be baptized in the Spirit. What it really is to complete and give us the grace for which our Lord died. So that we can live this grace. Now, if you have your Bible sometime, just underline. He's called in this text, the Lamb of God, the one who ranks ahead of me, the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And by the way, our translation says, he is the one who will baptize. The text says, he is hovaptizon. He is the baptizing one. He's always the baptizing one. That's his reality. So today, when you pray like Honi, just say, Lord, I know I got to go to work. I can't really do like Honi and just stand here. But please help me understand so that I just don't skate over these words and never plunge into them. Why are you the Lamb of God? What does that mean? You're offered in sacrifice. You're the Paschal Lamb. And so forth. Ask the Lord so that it becomes a revelation and not just a piece of literature. So let's stand and pray.